When Krishna and Balaram, with the strength of their legs, crawled in the muddy places created in Vraj by cow dung and cow urine, their crawling resembled the crawling of serpents, and the sound of their ankle bells was very charming. Very much pleased by the sound of other ankle bells, other people's ankle bells, they used to follow these people as if going to their mothers. But when they saw that there were other people, they became afraid and returned to their mothers, Yashoda and Rohini. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. When Krishna and Balaram were crawling about Brajbhumi, they were enchanted by the sound of ankle bells. Thus, they sometimes followed other people who would enjoy the crawling of Krishna and Balaram and exclaim, "Oh, see how Krishna and Balaram are crawling." Upon hearing this, Krishna and Balaram could understand that these were not their mothers. And they would return to their actual mothers. Thus, the crawling of Krishna and Balaram was enjoyed by the people of the neighborhood, as well as by Mother Yashoda and Rohini and the two children themselves. So to an ordinary person, these pastimes would seem like, you know, not really worth writing about. Everybody's got children, everybody's got parents, and they crawl in the mud. And, you know, the parents really get a lot of enjoyment out of seeing their kids starting to crawl and increase their ability to come from crawling to walking. But generally people, other mothers also in the neighborhood may get some pleasure, but it's not something you really write a Srimad Bhagavatam about. You know, it's philosophy. It's more important things than this. But actually all the Bhagavatam, the 9 cantos up to the 10th canto, are meant to bring us to this point of understanding this particular type of pastime. So, Maharaj Parikshit, when he was speaking about Krishna, he's speaking about Krishna now, at one point he was speaking about the Damodar Leela, which is not long, it was about 3 weeks ago that it finished. And he came to the point where there were all the sages were there, and there were different categories of sages. Some of them were devotees, some of them were transcendentalists of other sorts, impersonalists, tyagis, so many different, you know, transcendentalists. And therefore he leaned forward to Maharaj Parikshit. He said, you know, he explains by the charities, he went like this. And he was a bit more confidential information he was giving. And he said, what's the verse now? I can't remember the Sanskrit, but he was saying, it's really unusual, you know, many different kinds of sages. People are searching all over the universe to try and understand what is the source of creation. Is it impersonal or personal? Is it, if it's personal, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And what does he do? And here, this Mataji, Mother Yashoda, thinks Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all creation, is a son. That's unusual. For Vaishnavas, it may not seem, we may hear it many times, but, you know, how many of us is there here? Just a handful. You told that to people out there, and, you know, they would think you were mad. So, also, the other sages in that particular audience, he didn't want to, you know, let them hear everything because it was a little bit confidential. So it's a very confidential knowledge that Mother Yashoda thinks that, you know, the supreme source of all creation is a son. And not just thinking that, well, he may be the supreme person. No, she thinks he's his son, her son. And that's amazing. So why did we quote this verse? Because it's described by the acharyas that this is the Paribhash Sutra of the 10th canto. You know, this Paribhash Sutra means that it's it's a particular small phrase of sutra, and that gives the essence of the rest of the book. We can understand the Paribhas Sutra of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ete Chamsa Kalapumsha, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, Indriyani Vyokalam Lokam Mridayanti Yuge Yuge, that it's just mentioned all the different incarnations who come in this world, 22. It says, but two, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam, but Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, you know, it's saying that in many places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but what's specific about this particular verse is that it's mentioned all the, in one place, it's mentioned all the representatives of the Supreme Lord, or the Supreme Lord himself. And it's saying that despite all these, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there's so many ways that the Acharyas prove that philosophically by the different words in this particular verse. And then later on in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we might read that, you know, Lord Shiva is the Supreme, or Lord Brahma is the Supreme. And so, unless we understand this Paribhas Sutra, we'll become confused. People may read the Srimad Bhagavatam, and, you know, take a fresh person reading it. He's reading in one place that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, Lord Shiva is the Supreme Lord, Lord Brahma is the Supreme Lord, Indra is the Bhagavan. What, you know, it's pretty confusing. So the Paribhas Sutra means that everything else is subservient to this verse. When it says Shiva is the Supreme, it means we should remember this verse and think, ah, but the Paribhas Sutra says Krishna is the Supreme. So there must be a way of understanding this verse relative to the Paribhas Sutra verse. And in that way, there's no confusion. So similarly, this particular verse, which Shukadev Goswami spoke to Maharaj Parikshit, is setting the standard for understanding the rest of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That, you know, the illusory, we're talking about the illusory energy, Maya. Maya is one energy, but it works in two ways. There's Maha Maya, which covers the living entity, his real understanding of his position, and then there's Yogamaya. Sometimes they refer in, you know, it's a Yogamaya Samamritaha. The whole world does not know me, the fools and rascals don't know me because of Yogamaya. And we think, well, wait a minute, Yogamaya is spiritual. It covers the spiritual pastimes. So it doesn't really matter. It's Maya. It means that which is not Maya. So it does exist, but we're not seeing it in the proper context. This material world, we're not seeing it in its proper context in relationship with Krishna. This is Maya. And so also this Maya works in the spiritual world. Is that, you know, people think that Krishna is the Supreme, think the Supreme Personality of God, Krishna, is their son. In one respect, everybody's Krishna's offspring. But in reality, you know, that is reality, actually. Later on in the Damodar Leela, in the Acharyas are explaining that, you know, the birds were watching this Leela when Krishna woke up in the morning, and the pastime started at that point. We usually start the pastime from Mother Yashoda churning the yogurt. But, you know, the thing is that Krishna woke up and he watched Mother Yashoda go. She woke up very quiet. Well, first of all, the Mother Yashoda woke up, saw Krishna next to her, and she said, oh, my blue lotus. And she fell back to sleep again. And then, you know, the breeze personified thought it's time Mother Yashoda woke up. So the breeze came from Rajbhumi in the valley and came up towards Nanda Maharaj's house, came through the gate, came up the onto the balcony, and then it paid its obeisances before it went into Mother Yashoda's room. Then the breeze circumambulated Mother Yashoda, just touching her, so she woke up. And then she woke up very carefully so she didn't disturb Krishna. He was still asleep. Or she thought he was still asleep. And then she went to get changed, you know, and there was one maid there, and she was helping. Usually there's a load of maids, but there was only one maid there at this particular day. All the others had gone somewhere else. They'd gone to one festival nearby for, I think it's Deeper Valley Festival. Everybody had gone, just this maid and two guards on the gate, because there was a special pastime today, and, you know, Krishna didn't want anybody else about, because otherwise the pastime couldn't have been performed. But we're not talking about that today anyway, we're talking about something else. And so, you know, Krishna went to Mother Yashoda. Sorry, Mother Yashoda then started churning the yogurt, and she became really absorbed in this churning and started singing. And she was singing so nicely that she went internally into, you know, meditation. And so, but occasionally, just before that actually, she would look round, you know, like a mother would, to see if Krishna was awake. And he was watching her, then he'd close his eyes. And then when she looked the other way, he'd open his eyes again. And it was just, you know, this is called service in separation. It was really appreciating Mother Yashoda's beauty and a service attitude took for him. Because she knew that she's just doing this to please me. And then he became a little envious of the earrings on Mother Yashoda's ears. You know, they were jingling about because she was churning the yogurt and, you know, reflecting off her face. And he thought, those earrings, they're so fortunate. They're so close to Mother Yashoda. He said, I never get that close, not as often as the earrings. So this feeling of a little bit of resentment, it's spiritual resentment, not material resentment. And so at that time, the earrings said, well, why don't you come and join us? But Krishna thought, no, I'm enjoying myself in this situation. So the acharya is right that actually service in separation is more enjoyable than service in connection. anyway, the pastime goes on, and Prema then comes to Krishna and asks how we can serve on this particular day. And he says, I want a super excellent pastime where everybody will experience a bliss they've never experienced before, as well as me and Mother Yashoda. And then Yogamaya comes and said, you know, how can I be of service? He says, you're also a part of this pastime. Without you, this pastime cannot be performed. So we're talking about these particular pastimes. These are under the supervision of Yogamaya. That if Krishna shows his real position, then nobody can really reciprocate with him. It just becomes one of, you know, complete awe and reverence or even fear. And so this Yogamaya is the working in all Krishna's pastimes. It's the thing which separates the living entity from Krishna. So we're all actually parts and parcel of Krishna, but we have a slightly different mood. We're in the mood of service, and Krishna's in the mood of served. But unless there's some interface, some covering, then this understanding can't be given up, and therefore the pastimes cannot work. So then Mother Yashoda, she starts to... Anyway, we'll go on. We'll skip forward. Is that all right? We'll skip forward a bit. Otherwise, Mother Yashoda's Krishna sees Mother Yashoda go towards the, you know, there's like this noise coming. Emergency! Emergency! As Mother Yashoda's feeding Krishna, and this is an unembodied voice, and then she hears this. And she sees that the milk's actually boiling over. And so she immediately puts Krishna down and starts running towards the milk. And, you know, Krishna's just been in the lap of luxury enjoying milk, you know. And then he suddenly finds himself on the floor. And he really becomes, you know, I'm disturbed about this. And he's watching Mother Yashoda run to the milk pan, and then he becomes envious of the milk pan. You know, she's left me to go for the milk pan. And so anyway, the pastime goes on, and then Krishna eventually thinks, you know, I've got to get something to eat because I'm still actually feeling some hunger. So he breaks the yogurt pot, the yogurt goes all over the floor. So, you know, it's all contaminated. So he's still angry. I'm still not satisfied. And then he thinks, oh, Mother Yashoda, she's got some yogurt hanging in the storeroom. I'll go and steal the key from her almirah. So, you know, he steals the key. And as he's going towards the almirah, all the birds are looking on the balcony. Remember the birds on the balcony? They're all watching this pastime. And he looks at him and says, you say one word, you know, and there's big trouble. So they all look the other way. They're thinking, we don't want to be burnt to ashes like, you know, the sons of Maharaj Sagra. And so then he goes in the storeroom, and he starts eating the yogurt. And you know, there's butter in one, there's curds in another, and there's yogurt in another one, and everything he tastes, it tastes the same. And he realizes this is Mother Yashoda's devotion. Remember in Bhagavad Gita, he says he tastes the devotion. And he thinks, I better not eat too much. He said, I never eat too much of my own mother's preparations. Why? He said, in this particular case, because if I ate too much, then I couldn't actually perform this pastime. Because he's angry, you know, and he needs to be angry in this pastime. But if he eats too much of Mother Yashoda's prasadam, you know, when you have a good feast and you feel really pacified, you know, you don't want to do anything, do you? You feel you sit there all day. You know? So he thinks, if I'm in this mood, I won't be able to perform the rest of the pastime. And also, he does that regularly, because if he gets into that mood, he won't be able to perform pastimes with his schoolboy friends, with his coward friends, sorry. You know, so he leaves the yogurt alone, and then, so then it's too late. You know, it's starting to take an effect on him. And so the anger's starting to go down. You know, when you're angry, you don't care about anything, do you? You know what I mean? We say what we want to say and we do what we want to do. Tendency is to do that anyway, and we forget the reality of the situation. So the reality of the situation, of the way he's acting, starts to come back. And so then he starts to become fearful. And he's thinking, oh, any minute he's expecting Mother Yashoda to come in. And he's looking around, and the Yogamaya potency, remember Yogamaya? Yogamaya potency comes in. I said, don't fear, my lord. I'll cover Mother Yashoda so that she won't be able to see what you're doing. And so the Yogamaya potency, you know, Mother Yashoda's cleaning up the milk, and she keeps looking round to see how Krishna's going on. And every time she looks round, she doesn't see a broken pot of yogurt and, you know, footprints all over the floor, yogurt all over the walls. She sees Krishna playing nicely, and she thinks, he's such a nice little boy. And this is Yogamaya. So when Yogamaya, when Krishna hears that, he thinks, oh, I'm safe. And his anger comes back again. He can do what he wants. And so the pastime potency goes on. And this is working all the way through this potency in different ways, that Krishna's being covered, his devotees are being covered. And so in this particular situation also, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is being covered. He thinks he's a little boy. He thinks that, you know, that these are his elders. Actually, there's one bird. You remember the birds? There was one. These are Brijbasi birds. They were on the balcony. Well, one of them was from Mathura. And in Mathura, they have a different conception of God. You know, there's a little bit more intimacy in Vrindavan. And so the bird came, and he's saying, you know, to the other birds, you know, how can the Supreme Personality of be angry? He's self-satisfied. How can he be hungry? You know, he's self-satisfied. And there's one owl there. The owl looks at him and says, who? He says, who do you think Krishna is? And so this you know, bird from Mathura, this songbird, he says, well, he's a supreme personality of Godhead, and he's acting like a little child to reciprocate with his devotees, to give them some pleasure. And everybody, all the birds there, they look away in disgust. He doesn't know anything. He says, and they all says, no, that's who he is. He is that little boy. And everything else is stemming from that personality. This is one of his original functions, one of his original forms. And so anyway, it goes on like that. So we can understand that, you know, this, that we can't understand everything. You know, the tendency is that we want to get the top side of everything. We want to understand everything. But, you know, in devotional service, one of the keys to understanding things properly is that we can't understand everything. And this is, you know, how we can reciprocate with Krishna. That difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity. What do they call that difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity? Bhagavad Gita. It's service. The difference is service. And so, you know, we have to understand that different living entities have different relationships with Krishna, and so therefore they're covered in a different way, that's all. So what this brings us down to the crux of the matter is that everything is dependent on what? Everything is dependent on our will, isn't it? We're not limited in any way. We think we're limited by this body. We think we're limited by our conditioning. We think we're limited in so many ways, but the only limitation is our consciousness. Every living entity can obtain supreme consciousness. Whatever particular relationship they have with Krishna, then they can experience that by the process of devotional service. So every living entity has a particular relationship with Krishna, and by the process of devotional service, we can understand that relationship. So one of the things is that understanding the spiritual world, not just understanding the theoretical, but understanding the spiritual world and the pastimes that are going on there and how it's working, and then we can see Krishna's mercy. This is the thing that we're really looking forward to. I was going to say something else. Yeah, so, you know, Yoga Maya, Maha Maya, same thing, living entity, his intelligence is covered, he thinks he's something he's not, spiritual world, intelligence is covered, thinks himself something which he is, actually, so that he can perform the pastime. So there's no real difference, it's just the way it works on the living entity. Well, that's the thing, is it says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that Yayo Samho Ito Jiva Atmanam Sri Guratmakam Paropi Manite Natha Tad Kritram Charpi Padjite. It says the material miseries of the living entity are actually superfluous to him. If we're suffering, Prabhupada said, we're in Maya. If we're feeling miserable, we're in Maya. He says because these things are superfluous to us, we don't need them. And the you know, this is due to absorption in the material energy, that's all. And it can be, the next verse is, Artha Parsamam Shakshad Bhakti Yoga Adokshe Lokasha Janatovigivam Chakra Satvara Samitam. He said the material miseries of the living entity can be immediately dissipated by the linking process of devotional service, by remembering our real position, what's actually happening, and absorbing ourselves in that way. And then we become from Shoka Moha Bayapaha. Shoka means lamentation, Moha means illusion, and Baya means fear. Would everybody like to be free from illusion, lamentation, and fear? So this is a process. But we have to apply it, that's the thing. It's not just like get things done. It's not like that. You know, we're having a marathon, so we should work hard for Krishna and distribute Prabhupada's books. That's what he wanted us to do. That's the way to engage us. But we should understand that at the end of the marathon, we should feel enlivened in Krishna consciousness. That means when we're giving the books out, we're actually understanding the situation and we're feeling reciprocation from Krishna. And that's the most difficult thing, is to apply the mind in every situation. And then we won't become disillusioned. You know, in every situation, even if the books are not going out, we'll feel enlivened. I know one devotee in Russia when I was there, his friend, he was saying, a few years ago, he used to go out all day and distribute about 3 books, small books. And I used to go over to him and say, "Are you all right?" You know, he spent like 8 hours on the street. "No, no, no," for 8 hours. And then, you know, 3 books go out. He said, "No, no problem." And he said it went on for years. He said, "Are you all right?" "No problem." So, and then one day, you know, he did about 100 books, just like that. And he's been doing 100 books and more ever since. And what's his mentality? He's not going, "Yes," you know, he's not going like that. "No problem." So, you know, in devotional service, if we're in the proper consciousness, we don't become too elated. Obviously, there's elation and sometimes some, you know, what's happening here. There is that little bit of a... But very quickly we understand, you know, what's happening. It's why it's the illusory energy. And then we don't become fazed by the situation. So this is a platform of peacefulness, isn't it? But we, you know, we have to work for it. We have to control the mind. We have to engage the mind in devotional service in the proper consciousness. So that's why we're here in Srimad Bhagavatam, reminding us, because constantly we go out into the material energy, and material energy is reminding us of so many things that we don't want to hear. And that's influencing the mind and intelligence. And if we go on like that, then the mind and intelligence becomes so materialistic that we lose our way in devotional service. So this, you know, this inspiration from hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, is keeping the, what is it? Tasmata gyan sambhutam, ritstanam gyani satmanha, chitvenam shamshayam yogam, atishto atishto bharat. It says, therefore, the intelligence has to be sharpened by the sword of intelligence. We have to, you know, keep the intelligence sword by the sword of knowledge, sorry. Okay, so we can stop there. Does anybody have any comments or any questions?